This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me today is the CEO of Credit Bureau Malaysia, KC Wong. Good morning, KC.
Good morning, everyone.
KC, today with the change in federal government, there's a lot of talk about managing the country's debt, right? But what about our own personal credit worthiness, right? Talk to us about that, because I understand there are some challenges and perhaps a lot of educating that needs to be done on that front.
Okay, first of all, there is no big sudden surge or immediate pressing problem about how our Malaysians are managing their debt right now. It's been like this for many, many years. What we find, and a lot of us have this perception as well, if you live in the urban cities, you tend to have some level and a fairly high level of personal debt. That's the nature of the, because cost of living in the urban areas are higher. Do people know how to manage their debt? Sadly, compared to our knowledge in so many other topics, but managing debt is actually short, right? Now, you have lots of seminars teaching people how to invest in share market, in unit trust, but sadly, I haven't seen any courses or seminars teaching people how to manage credit. You know, by right, the banks should be doing this because they make so much money from lending money. But sadly, banks don't teach people how to manage credit. They spend a lot of money promoting their products, but nobody's teaching how to manage credit. And so, CBM, in a way, has taken it upon ourselves. And of course, we are not the only one. There are other agencies as well who spend some time. But we do want to help share our concept, our campaign of being credit positive.
So what are these common misconceptions that our listeners need to get right off the bat?
Well, there is this perception that the young are the ones that are getting into a lot of trouble with debt. In a way, that's true. But from our statistics, because we generate credit reports on a few million people, and so we have these statistics, and we can see, whilst the young do tend to have a higher rate, but we have some interesting things. It's not the very young. The 18 to 25 age bracket, they don't get into trouble so much. That's probably because they are just starting off borrowing money. Banks are conservative with them and don't lend them a lot anyway.
And they've got fewer responsibilities as well, right?
Yeah. Mm. So, by and large, they are not the worst. The youngest are not. The worst comes from the 25 to 40.
Ah,
right?
Okay.
25 to 35, there's one bracket, they're the worst. And then 35 to 40. So, why is that? Because once you've gotten used to handling your credit card and you've got a good job and salary starts coming in, that's where people tend to go overboard, borrowing beyond their means.
Right. Know? So very often when we talk about Malaysian society as a whole, or rather Asian societies as a whole, they seem to be rather risk averse. Cash is king is a mantra that is often repeated, right? Are you saying that that idea, cash is king, that's being eroded?
I wouldn't use the word eroded, but cash is king and don't borrow money from the banks because it's dangerous is more a older generation set of values and behavior, right? Your grandparents, your parents do that. But younger people today, especially as more and more people become more urban, it's very difficult not to borrow money in an urban life.
Right, especially with the rising cost of living and trying to keep up with the Joneses, they got to keep up with appearances. So the propensity of taking on more debt, that appetite has grown.
Yeah, exactly. So you, being a young person living in a city, you will have this dilemma. Do you borrow or you do not? Do you not? Right? Your parents will say, stay away from me. You know, I come across people in their 20s and not allowed to have a credit card by their parents. Right? So these are the good boys, good girls. Yeah, but hey, there is this question. Should you borrow or should you not? Mm. Well, my take is in modern urban life, you can't do without it, right? So then the question is, how do you do it carefully?
Right. All right, because the need is greater now compared to in the past. How do we borrow and manage our debt responsibly?
Okay, so in Credit Bureau, our message, our campaign is actually called Be Credit Positive. Now, 6 months ago, if you Google this phrase, you can't find it on the internet. We kind of coined it with our consultant, and basically Credit Positive revolves around these two concepts. One is you got to be judicious in how you decide to borrow, right? And the second thing is you got to have discipline in your behavior after you've borrowed. Mm. Now, let me go a little bit into these two points. What do you mean by being judicious in borrowing? You know, and I tried my best not to use big words here. people got to understand the banking products that's available to them, right? I put it simply, please don't use a credit card to pay for down payment on a car. And I know there are some used car dealers who allow you to do that, but it's a classic case of using the wrong banking product for the wrong purpose. So generally, I know a lot of young people have credit cards. You do not use your credit card to buy something that you know you cannot pay off in 4 to 6 months, because you know the interest rate is very high. So if you know that you're going to take 1 or 2 years to pay off, that's probably not it's not the right time for you to buy that thing.
That's a red flag.
That's a red flag. Mm. So, you know, putting something on the credit card and provided you can repay it in about 4 to 6 months, that's fair, right? 1-2 months is best. Yeah.
Of course. And I think the rule is, you know, always try to pare down your outstanding payments on your credit cards, correct?
Oh, the minimum repayment amount is an absolute must. You must at least pay that.
Right.
But paying that, the balance will incur a very high 18%, right?
Now, what about, say, using the credit card to finance a vacation? Is that okay?
Okay. That is very personal, but in my opinion, no. Because I advocate, so I go back to my point about being judicious about borrowing. So in general, you should and you could borrow to buy something that will actually contribute to your ability to earn money, right? So if you were saying, I want to buy an apartment and I will have rental, or at the very least, I can live in it and then I don't have to pay rental. Buying a car so that I can go to work. Buying a notebook so that I can be more efficient in my work. And all those are very good reasons why a person borrow. But to borrow for conspicuous consumption, that's probably not appropriate.
I love that, conspicuous consumption. Great stuff there. Now, Casey, with this message that you're bringing, is it a little bit too late? Because if we look at the stats, right, in 2016, 97% of university graduates failed to repay their study loans. And we find out these numbers when their names are listed on SECRES. You've also got numbers like, for example, Malaysia's youth constitute more than half, 60% of the over 90,000 cases of bankruptcy reported between 2013 until August 2017. Now, I understand the message if it's preemptive in nature, but what about for those who are listening right now who find themselves part of those statistics? They are now in financial troubles. What can they do?
Okay.
Or what message should they heed?
Okay. You've touched on a very important part, and it's a little bit more complex. So allow me to go a step back. The second part of being credit positive, besides being judicious in how you borrow, is about having disciplined behavior after you have borrowed. Now, there are a couple of points here. Very simple. If you borrow, you need to repay on time. And if you are in financial trouble, you have to seek help and be in communication with the party that has lent you the money, the bank, right? One common misperception I find Malaysian public have is if you're in trouble, you disappear. You know, they call you, your handphone and you'll say things like, oh, ini orang tada. That is a very bad thing to do, because the moment they cannot communicate with you, little do people know, you don't get off the hook. You are thrown into the bin where legal action starts, right? So, for example, if you get a summon and you're called to court to answer a debt that you have been delinquent, if you don't turn up, you are automatically guilty. Right. It's called a judgment in default. Mm. So if you get a summon to go to court, you must show up to defend yourself. Mm. And I find that the Malaysian legal system is actually quite kind to people who owe money. Okay, now back to addressing your question. Besides being disciplined and staying in touch, right, what happens if you have already gotten into trouble? That's your question. Now, it's a very deep issue. In the first place, you should have been schooled into the right understanding of how your behavior should be. And we find that there are many people at fault here causing our young people not to have the right understanding and the right principles in handling repaying debt, right? And essentially, this comes from the fact that when you owe, okay, it's a universal principle. You owe, you repay, right? The problem comes when you owe, you don't repay, and nothing happens. And what are we talking here? Sometimes, sadly, and I'm not trying to hit any particular part of the government, but sometimes the government is at fault because, for example, PTPTN loans. For many years in the past, a lot of students got the impression that you don't really have to repay. If you don't, nothing much will happen to you. And that was the fact. And I can understand why the government behaved that way, because they didn't want to overburden the students or a young person coming out to work.
And it's also a populist measure, right? You know, it is something that many people are crying out for. So in finding the solution to this, is this more a case of personal responsibility, or is this something that the regulators, the authorities, the government has to really step in? Because we have seen, as part of the new federal government's manifesto, they are loosening up the conditions around PTPTN, right? So who really should take the lead here, personally or the government?
Okay, so you're referring to the recent news that the new government after the GE14 is looking to withdraw that PTPTN blacklisting. Yeah, so that's very interesting. A lot of politicians would like to do the popular thing, but they have to be very careful. I think today we've reached the age we need to do the right thing, not necessarily the popular thing. And so, in terms of teaching the young how to behave, how to have discipline in handling their credit, it is multiple parties' responsibilities. One is, of course, your parents, right? The education system. Today, it's not just ICT and technology that needs to be added to the syllabus.
It's also financial literacy.
Financial literacy and money management needs to be added in as well.
Certainly.
Yeah. So, yes, the government has a role to play to help to teach the young. The home, the parents has a role to teach. The school has a role to teach. And that person, that young himself, has a responsibility to learn.
Casey, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about this learning process, about how to become and stay credit positive. I'm speaking to Casey Wong, CEO of Credit Bureau Malaysia. This is Ringgit and Sense. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Sense. I am Tan Chung Han, and with me is Casey Wong, CEO of Credit Bureau Malaysia, here to talk to us about becoming and staying credit positive. How do we responsibly manage our debt levels? So how does a personal credit score factor into this whole conversation?
Okay, so what happens is when we talk about creditworthiness, and even when I say good and bad, it's very vague. Right?
And it's subjective as well, right?
Subjective, and it's
Income levels and expenditure levels.
Yeah,
right?
And it's a continuum. So what happens is, in our business, we have we generate a credit score on a person, a credit report on a person, and in that credit report, we actually have a credit score. Now, a credit score, just give you a bit of background how we generate it. We take a whole bunch of historical statistics about people in Malaysia, and we separate between the bad and the good, and we do statistical analysis to find out what patterns each group exhibit. And from there, we build a model. And then we take another big bunch of historical numbers and we pump it through the model to see whether it predicts. So in the end, when we come up with a score, there's no subjective judgment by me, the CEO, or by any of my staff in terms of deciding what goes in and how do you get labeled as banned. It's statistically generated.
But this is all based on past habits, right?
Past habits, right, of the general population in Malaysia.
Of your ability to service debt.
Yes.
Okay.
So when then we come up with this score, and this score indicates to the bank your propensity to repay your debt or not to repay your debt. Mm-hmm. So when we generate a credit report and a credit score, we do not tell the bank that yes, they should lend to you or no, they shouldn't lend to you, because it's actually, it differs from bank to bank. Some banks have a bigger risk appetite and some banks have a lower risk appetite. So sometimes when people come to our office and say, hey, I've got rejected by the bank because of your credit score, and that's not true. The bank has their own policy to decide. Our credit score simply tells the bank what's the grading or what's the propensity for someone to repay or not to repay.
Mm.
Okay, so now, on this topic of credit report, credit score, in Malaysia, despite us being quite advanced, we are almost a developed country, our society lacks the understanding or the realization that there is a thing called credit report and how it affects your life.
Mm.
We have very little knowledge about it.
So how does it affect our life then?
Okay, so a credit score, of course, is very often, credit report, credit score is very often used by banks when you apply for a loan, a credit card, a bank will pull a credit report to check on you. A lot of people don't know that when you apply for a job, a lot of companies pull a credit report on you as well, especially if your job pertains to handling money. It's almost a must. And there are many jobs with companies that are regulated, like for banks or stockbroking companies. There is a requirement that the employer check you out to confirm you are fit and proper. So the financial fit and proper will require a credit report, right? This is on a lighter note. In the US, they've actually generated a score on credit. I mean, sorry, a score using credit information on marriage eligibility. Now, that's for fun. They don't sell that kind of score. But credit behavior can indicate whether a guy is good husband material or not. Yeah. So, credit report, the information inside the credit score actually has a lot of application, and it affects people's lives often in ways they don't realize.
Mm.
Now, the good thing is, in Malaysia, the government has taken care to protect you. Before someone can get your credit report, credit score, they need you to consent. So very often, and please, you got to be vigilant. When you fill up a form, there could be a paragraph at the end asking you to consent to this party pulling your credit report. So if you sign on it, then you are consciously saying, I allow you to pull. And in a lot of cases, you're trying to apply for a job, you have no choice. You have to let him. But it is with your consent.
Right. So, you know, we have discussed so much here. This is a very loaded topic. We've spoken about, say, wise spending habits, you know, how to be credit positive, you know, and what does a credit score ultimately mean for you. With the little time that we have left, what are some practical steps that listeners can do right now in order to be more aware and try to become credit positive? Active steps here.
Okay. Be credit positive. And there's two things here. You got to be careful in choosing the right banking products for the right usage, and of course not over borrowing beyond your capacity to repay. Yeah, and then once you have borrowed, you got to be pretty disciplined in how you repay and stay in touch with your credit grantor, and all this will help you have and maintain a good credit history in your credit report. Now, on another occasion, I'll be happy to share with the Malaysian public, how do you actually maintain a good credit history? You know, it goes into how many credit cards should you have, how much of the credit limit you should spend, and all that. But we'll save that for another day.
And also, we need to know now our credit score. We should go find out now. Is that important?
Oh, yes. Hmm. Everybody should go generate and take a look at your credit report and look at your credit score. For one, it allows you to know what kind of information about you is available to the banks. And number two, checking on your credit score is a very good way to detect stolen identity.
Mm.
So if you find a loan in your credit report which you do not know about, that is call for immediate action, you better go see the bank. You might even have to make a police report. Somebody has taken a loan out in your name without you knowing.
All right, so how do we find out our credit score then? Do we contact the Credit Bureau Malaysia or just contact the local bank? How do we do that?
Oh, so we have three main credit bureaus in the market, right? You can go to any of their offices, including CBM's offices. But today, with technology, you don't have to. You can actually do it online. You don't ever have to step out of your house. Pay online and generate online, and we'll send the credit report after some security questions. We'll send it to your email address and you can print as many copies as you want after that.
Oh, must pay one, not free one.
Yes, unfortunately, we have to pay for the data that we bring into the credit report. So whilst we do a lot of things to help the Malaysian public, but we still have to recover our costs. So there is a 10 ringgit charge for generating your credit report.
Got it. Well, excellent steps that we should take right now. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Casey Wong, CEO of Credit Bureau Malaysia. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is Ringgit and Cents right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.